This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
So therefore, the Flatwoods Monster, Flatwoods, West Virginia. Boy, why is everything happening in West Virginia? Any relationship, connection, similarity, what?
Well, I think there is a little bit of connection. Of course, it is the Appalachia area. West Virginia, you have people that are really kind of unsophisticated. The thing that sets apart the Flatwoods Monster course is that it does seem to have a UFO or a rocket or something in the sky over the hill that appeared before the Flatwoods Monster was actually seen. And as I document in my earlier book, Mothman and Other Curious Encounters, the Flatwood Monster incident is not alone in its occurrence. During that time period, we had several Flatwoods monsters being seen. It almost as if there was an invasion from UFOs, so to speak, and then big monstrous creatures being seen. The classic Flatwoods Monster course stood very tall, you know, 7 feet tall, and it had a huge Ace of Spades head that had eyes that came through it that seemed to have some light source behind it. There were also some very strange things occurred with the dog. This group of people that went up the hill to see the Flatwoods Monster all raced down it, and the dog that was with them raced down it, jumped over a fence or went under the fence, and then got ill, you know, started vomiting and things. And I think some of the people actually didn't feel too well either. You didn't have any of those kinds of experiences with Mothman. People didn't get sick. They didn't vomit or anything like that. And so the Flatwoods Monster really had that kind of more physical ramifications. It kind of reminds me of some of the UFO stories that I have read.
Now, one time Jim Moseley told me something really strange. And maybe it was one of those times when he had more of his Vat 69 whiskey than he normally did, or more of his smoking substances. And he said when we went up there, I assume a lot of the witnesses were kids, right? As I recall. This is, you know, many years ago.
One mother and all kids.
All right. That they observed, I don't know, a parent, two people getting it on. And that was the original source. You know, like two people cheating on their families. And that was colored as some kind of monster. That was Jim's interpretation. I guess he got it from Gray Barker.
Never heard that.
I never heard it since. He mentioned it one time, and I thought maybe it's just a sick humor with
the
sentence.
You know, both of those individuals did look at the world sexually in a way that a lot of us didn't approach a lot of these cases. So, could be. I don't know.
Jim made a big thing about sex and saucers, where flying saucers somehow represent a substitute for some kind of sexual activity. Of course, then there's also the possibility here that some people claiming to have been raped by E.T., having some kind of sexual encounter with an extraterrestrial, were actually sexually attacked, all right, but by a human being. And the psychological impact, either they were unwilling to say that or interpreted in such a way that it became E.T.
I really don't know where you're going, because I remember some of these overnight shows that I've been on in which people ask me, does Bigfoot do anal probes? I don't want to go.
I don't think that we need to get that far.
No.
Unless there was a theory here that Chris mentioned, of course, that maybe some Bigfoot types were after human females. Right, Chris?
Yeah, possibly.
Actually, it's the reverse. In my book, Bigfoot, The True Story of Apes in America, I did a statistical study of all of those stories about Bigfoot kidnappings. The majority of them are males. They're trying to kidnap males because there aren't that many male Bigfoot around anymore, and they're trying to take them back to the family group to breed with a female Bigfoot.
Well, like an Albert Osman type scenario.
Exactly. Then we went there. Okay.
Yeah, well, I, you know, again, it's Gene's dirty mind.
Yeah, but you're the first person who mentioned this, Chris. I didn't bring it up.
Hey, you just brought it up. I wasn't going to go there.
But you've already been there.
Does all of your shows go this direction, guys?
Well, you know, he's not called the Woody Monster. He's called the Flatwoods Monster.
Or the Bigfoot. And anybody that has big feet, never mind.
I don't know.
See what can of worms you've opened up there, Gene?
You see the real thing here, to be very serious about it.
Yeah. You know, I wrote a chapter in my Bigfoot book that was called Sex and the Single Sasquatch. I got in so much trouble for that because, you know, there's a lot of... What I was really asking people in all of these fields is that they avoid this talk of the sexuality of these creatures because we're all prudes. And as investigators, we have to be open to listening to the eyewitnesses tell us everything. And so, you know, whether it's aliens, sex, Bigfoot, Mothman, I don't know. But we have to be open to this and not.
Yes. So when he started doing that, Mrs. Jones, how did that make you feel?
Well, it's really more the investigators that shy away from this. They hear people describing a Bigfoot penis looking like a horse penis, and they say, "Oh, thank you very much. I won't write that down."
And we're not going to continue that because this is family radio. We can use that word, but we have to be very careful in its implications. We're not going to get into that.
Well,
obviously, that's not happening with Thunderbirds. You know, we don't have Thunderbirds or Mothman capturing Earth women.
Oh, now we're going back to Gene being interested in Mothman. I see.
Can we use the word turgid?
No, the one thing that may hook up for you about this is that most of the Mothman cases started out in lover's lanes.
Yeah.
Because the...
Very good point.
Orgone energy may, you know, the activity, the energy, the sexuality. The four people in the original car...
Right. They were all making out.
They were two couples. They were both married couples in their 20s who actually were going to look at lover's lane to see if they could bother teenagers. Now, the one thing that I found, and I wrote about this in one of the captions or one of the pictures in my new book, if you look carefully at that original picture of the four eyewitnesses, there's another individual in the background. It's the cousin of one of the individuals that everybody has avoided interviewing and nobody's ever talked to. And I think there was actually five people in the car, not four people. And they were on a mission of, you know, sexual mischief, so to speak. Mm.
Well, you know, there is something to what you're saying. I recall the DuPont Monster, for instance, in Illinois, shows up at Lover's Lanes. I think, wasn't Momo, some of the early Momo sightings. In outside of Ellsbury, Missouri, I think they were also Lover's Lane sightings. We have a whole flurry of reports here in Arizona back in 2007, I think, or 2005, where Fort Apache Reservation officials were getting calls of Peeping Tom Bigfoot, who was watching people getting it on in their bedrooms, which actually led to a sighting by one of the teams of officers replying to a 911 call. They just happened to be just within yards of the driveway. So that's the point that I've often felt, that there is something to that there is some possibly chemical, hormonal attraction with humans having sex.
I think we should start moving away from that. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
And you see, folks, it's not something I just happen to raise or explore.
Well, there's also John Keel. Did a whole segment on the grinning men. The grinning men would be tall creatures or entities that would look over the tops of the windows into, you know, and become a peeping Tom. And then remember Jim Brandon, Weird America, and all of those books?
Oh, yeah.
He actually felt that trailers were a magnetic spot for all of these creatures because the different layers of insulation and metal was like an organ producer, you know, William Reich, that there was actually this sexual energy being caught up in trailers was sending out certain waves to, you know, Bigfoot or Grinning Man or Mothman or whatever, and that they were major attractions. So, yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying from all your cases.
All right. Now, this is an interesting question here. Is there evidence then, except in certain instances, that that kind of energy may cause these weird things to happen? Do UFOs hang around lovers' lanes at all?
Yes. Yes, they do. And even more so, if you look at some of the books about Wilhelm Reich's facility up in Rangeley, Maine, there were a lot of UFOs photographed overhead in the Oregonium. He actually produced cloudbusters and wrote books about the UFOs that were attracted to this energy.
Well, as I said again, anytime you get into something such as hybrid aliens involved with abductions, you're into this full square.
Right. And who knows where that goes. I don't think there's any alien Bigfoot hybrids, though. And a lot of people in the Bigfoot field have been really upset by a lot of the earlier DNA studies where they were kind of cut short by somebody saying that Bigfoot were part angels that came down and bred with human beings. So it seems like it was just another version of your alien hybrids.
The Nephilim.
Oh, yeah.
If there could possibly be a human Bigfoot hybrid, wouldn't they have to be very closely related genetically?
Well, hybrids would be, but most hybrids are sterile. I mean, like mules and stuff. But then again, we're looking at Neanderthal and some of the other things that are coming about in anthropology and paleontology. We're actually saying that maybe the inbreeding led to new species. I don't know. At least we're not talking about Snippy, right?
No. No about Snippy. Someone wrote to Chris this week about a Snippy update, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, somebody has the bright idea of taking an altimeter pressure fuse. In other words, if the cow's taken up in the air, strap a 2,000-pound bomb to it and have a fuse that goes off if the pressure, the air pressure changes, like going up in the air. And I didn't think that was too practical.
Other than possibly being illegal.
Well, you know, there's a bunch of cows walking around with 2,000-pound bombs. It just didn't seem very practical.
You know, Chris was one of the first people that mentioned Jerry Clark and I in a book. And when you're 20 years old and you write your first or second book, and you don't know that you're going to, you know, live this long and write 40 books, I will always remember that time I first saw my name in some other Fortean's book. And
it was my book, really? Mysterious Valley, probably.
Yeah, Mysterious Valley.
Which I didn't even know about your book until a couple years later when I got accused of stealing the name from Mysterious America.
Well, my book didn't come out until 1983. When did Mysterious Valley come out?
1996.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You stole the name. No, I'm just kidding. But I think you mentioned some of our earlier books in there.
I did, yeah.
And it was very, very special because, you know, you try very hard in this field to be friendly with everyone. And of course, the more that you write, the more enemies you make. And now with the internet, there's so many trolls. Oh. There's so many people saying I've stolen things from them. So to even like read John Keel, I knew who he was talking about because I gave him 1/3 of his book for Creatures of the Strange and strange time and time, and yeah. He kind of always forgot that I'd given him all those chapters, and yet it comes around. It's just getting very confusing. Ivan Sanders and I, in 1965, once had a conversation, and he told me there was only 5 people in the country that were interested in Bigfoot. And nowadays, it's just an explosion of people interested in Mothman, Bigfoot, UFOs, everything. And who could have imagined, you know, back in the 60s that anybody would care about anything we were interested in writing?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I remember thinking I was the only one for a lot of years.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's kind of nice. The internet does have its downsides, but also has an instant connection to people that's very reinforcing and humbling.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Well, I mentioned Jerry Clark in my last book, but he's probably not going to be too happy about it.
Jerry and I are still friends and still correspondents, and I still like him a lot, and I still know what buttons I can push on him and get him going.
Well, I took his whole comment that the Alexander Hamilton calf abduction case in 1897 was the result of a Liars Club contest, and I totally debunked him on that. I found all his original articles and totally blew his assertions out of the water.
Well, I always wondered when that came out, because, of course, with a lot of sea serpent and Bigfoot stories, you can always find somebody in another newspaper that will say this is a lie or this is made up. The whole Jocko, the case of the
the British Columbia Railroad,
right? Who one person said that was a newspaper hoax, and yet you can find other people saying, well, maybe there was something to it, and this one paper was just trying to decrease the circulation of the other one by saying it was a hoax. And that happened a lot back in the old days, that kind of journalism.
Well, I was talking about Jerry quoting an article where Hamilton supposedly admitted that it was a lie and blah, blah, blah. And I found that article, and he does nothing of the kind. And that was the article that he was basing a lot of his conclusions on. And I found the actual original copy of the article, a microfiche article, and it didn't say anything of the kind. In fact, it actually... It was done in such a way, it actually said the opposite.
We are going to have some opposite messages right now, and then we'll get back straight ahead with Lauren, Jean, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh, my gosh. That's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenics commercials.
Oh, yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenics really work?
Oh, yeah. I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenics.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME 44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME 44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME 44 to 42424.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You know, speaking of looking at the original sources and finding them to be so totally different, I know that Kevin Randall has done a lot of that, going back to original sources for UFO cases. Not just what's in the book, but what the book refers to, which quite often may be something in another book, but finding the original source. After it goes through, like, you know, three or four authors, it's kind of like this old shtick that the late Steve Allen used to do on his TV show, where he'd have somebody tell a joke, whisper it in somebody's ear. And the job of that person would be to repeat the same joke, whisper it in somebody's ear, and they go through 10 generations of this, and by the time they got to the 10th generation, they asked that person who received the distilled version of the original joke to repeat it, and had very, very vague resemblance to the original.
Yeah, the old telegram game. We all
telephone.
Telegram. I'm older than you, maybe. So what's the new book's name, Chris?
Well, it came out a couple years ago, Stock in the Herd. It's the kind of the encyclopedia sort of go-to textbook on the cattle death.
Okay, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I go to great lengths in there to prove that there was something to the case. I didn't set out to do that. It's just a way that when I started checking further into the case and started checking quotes and stuff, stuff just wasn't adding up. So I continued digging, and lo and behold, I found out that not only was the case probably real, but 12 members of the town, the bankers, the lawyers, the professional people, all signed affidavits to the honesty of Alexander Hamilton. Quite the opposite of being in a liar's club.
Yeah, and that's why in Mothman, my new Mothman book, Winkle's chapter looks at Heal's book because it does have mistakes in it. And, you know, you go back to original sources and you get rid of all of that contamination.
Yeah, you do a great job of doing that, of going in there and really digging down, drilling down and where all the particular information comes up. And you, it's amazing how much disparity there is between one version and the next. It's good to get all these things, all these facts and people's quotes and everything straight. I think it's really important that that more work is done by up-and-coming investigators and researchers and writers out there to get stuff as accurately as possible down. And a lot of that has to do with getting the actual original quotes, get them down, read them back to the witness before you go on, which is something that I found myself doing more and more, is writing down a quote and then reading it back to them to make sure that you got it right. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I would. But then occasionally someone would say, well, maybe if you say it this way, it's more accurate. Or why don't you change that to this? It gives them an opportunity to become as accurate as they can as well. And that way, and the same with release forms. When your lawyers for your publisher is saying, well, you mentioned this person's name, you got to get a release form from them. On all my books, what I would do is I'd write down and send to them the exact language, languaging that would be used in their quote and ask them to sign off on it and sign the release form. So people were not only giving me permission to use their name and use a quote, but they were signing off on the actual quote.
Yeah.
And that way you're eliminating all sorts of potential problems down the road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's why I really encourage young up-and-coming cryptozoologists in training like Colin to really not rehash old stories, but really go back, either develop their own new sources, develop new sources from new cases, or if you're going to deal with an old case, go back to the original people or the original sources. A lot of people, of course, have died. The original newspaper articles or affidavits or things like even police reports that weren't really looked at back then, some of those are online, and it's good to do that.
Yeah, it puts your work into a little bit more higher regard. And also, like I said, it alleviates all sorts of potential problems down the road. You know, I've always felt that if you're going to include somebody's name, it's got to be a positive thing for them as well as, you know, helping bolster your work. It's also giving that person a chance to go on the record, and especially law enforcement and public officials. I think it's doubly important to make sure you get everything accurate and give them the option of signing off on something or remaining anonymous. It's kind of a dance that we do out there and trying to get people to go on the record. We want them on the record, but, you know, if you can't get them on the record, at least be accurate with their quotes.
Because, in fact, if we're writing a book with some monsters and cryptids and all these other things in it, we also use these law enforcement people and ministers and teachers as some of the most credible witnesses.
Right.
It may be a fallacy because I think some of the truck drivers and housewives and house husbands and, you know, other people that are just kind of mundane to most individuals that are trying to be so skeptical actually give the best details sometimes.
Yeah.
So we do all of that. And we get that, and then we use them in our books to say this person said that, and they were credible. So you know, we have to be respectful of them.
Yeah. I found that outdoors people, hunters, hikers, climbers, they also make very, very good witnesses because there's a much more attentive and much more aware of their surroundings.
Right. And boaters for sea serpents and things like that. So the person that knows their environment the best, whatever way, like that's like truck drivers that I've interviewed about long distance truck drivers that see black panthers crossing the roads and stuff like that. Some are the best eyewitnesses.
Yeah, well, these guys, they drive, you know, thousands of miles a week, so
yeah,
they'll definitely notice something that sticks out, you know, that's not normal, like a panther sighting.
I don't know about the credibility of Fortean writers and radio show hosts, though.
Right. Well, it's a lifelong pursuit of, you know, to get that credibility.
Right.
I just got a case that was very interesting. It was a cow that Totally. It reminded me, you brought up Snippy earlier. It reminded me of Snippy. I mean, all the lips were there at the very tip and the tip of the nose, but everything else was gone to the shoulders. And it did look like a cat kill. It looked like a cat had burrowed in right at the base of the neck where it met the back. And, this is a case that's coming out of, I think Panama City, Florida. But you mentioned cats, and I'm sure looks like a cat kill to me, like a jaguar or something got this thing. I should send you pictures, and maybe you could take a look at it for me and help me advise these people because they're pretty freaked out. It's 8 acres right in the middle of a residential area. Nobody heard a thing. Dogs didn't freak out. Horses didn't freak out. And this thing got really horribly attacked. It's pretty inexplicable how it could happen.
I know the Florida Panthers are, they really know where every one of those are in Florida, so that might be an angle to look at.
Yeah, I did. I'm in the midst of doing that. And over jaguars, too. There are some jaguars down there. Yeah. Jaguars are smaller, though. I don't think a jaguar is going to be attacking a full-grown cow.
Yeah, well, jaguars or jagamundes?
Whatever they are, the spotted cats.
Okay, yeah.
I think they have jaguars down there.
They aren't supposed to.
No?
No, they may be escaped leopards. There's a whole zoo population down there.
Yeah, true. Now, a leopard could bring down a cow.
Oh, yeah.
They're big enough.
They bring
it's just
up.
A weird case. I haven't seen a case like it in 20 plus years, so I'll go ahead and send you the images if you.
Sure, that'd be interesting.
If you've had your breakfast already, I wouldn't want to go shout out for breakfast.
Because of the International Cryptozoology Museum that we have in Portland, Maine, I get lots of cases all the time. So
I bet, yeah.
We're going to do this break and then come back for a final segment with Lauren Coleman and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Age-related macular degeneration is a leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Lauren Coleman, yes. Question I always ask, and I don't know if there's ever going to be an answer. Are we ever going to solve any of this stuff? Bigfoot, Mothman, whatever.
Well, one of the positive things about being in cryptozoology, part of cryptozoology is really a mission to find new species. A lot of cryptozoology is based on investigating ethno-known stories, tales, sightings, whatever. So a lot of new animals are being found based upon native, indigenous, local people who say that there's something there, other people not believing them, but then finding the right people to go look for them. And so some cases are being solved. I think that whenever you get into the more fringe elements of cryptozoology, like Mothman, a Dover Demon, you know, the cases I've been involved with on the fringe, some of those cases are just going to be unknowns for a long time.
I don't feel like I'm any closer to solving anything.
Yeah, well, I think that part of why I wrote the book is that there's this whole other area about the Mothman that is being solved. I think if you look at how evil Mothman has been for several years, the whole town of Point Pleasant has really turned it around. Crypto tourism is making money and saving a little riverbank community that was going down the tubes. They're saving them. They're getting more commerce in there. They're getting more friendly tourists in, and it's changing Mothman from an evil creature into not a lot of money for those people, but survival.
Yeah, at least let's make it fun and not too dark and disturbing and
exactly
spooky. Make it a celebration of some sort.
As one of the Chamber of Commerce people down there said when he was kind of challenged, well, why do you do the Mothman? They don't exist. And the Chamber of Commerce guy said, look, I don't care if they exist or not. There's 10,000 people came to our festival, and that makes me happy.
Yeah. And if 10,000 people came, they exist.
Something absolutely does. Well, you know, it's like Roswell. The closer you get to Roswell, about 50 miles out, you start seeing the alien faces, you know. And then you get 25, 30 miles out, there everywhere. And you get into Roswell, even the country and western clothing stores have mannequins as aliens dressed up as cowboys. As long as Point Pleasant doesn't go where everything you, everywhere you look, it's all Mothman all the time. That would be a little disconcerting, I think. It's bad enough, Roswell, with all those little alien faces everywhere. Makes me break out in a rash, and I can't find exactly where to scratch it.
And the problem is Chris may want to do something rash.
Well, Mothman hasn't overtaken Point Pleasant that much, but it's a friendly creature there now.
Well, you see, the thing I worry about, though, here is if Mothman has inspired all this tragedy around it, especially in the original event, the collapse of the bridge and the people who died after, do you think maybe they're not tempting the gods there in having this event, making Mothman warm and fuzzy? If we make Mothman warm and fuzzy, do you think Mothman may come back and bite those who try to feed it?
Well, the one cautionary tale that I have to tell about that is on my Mothman death list, the first suicide that has occurred at the Mothman Festival happened last year. So that's something to watch. The Mothman Festival only has existed since the movie. And they were kind of shocked that somebody would actually go to the water and just jump in. And they did the traditional thing with suicides. He took his shoes off and put them calmly on the bank and then jumped in.
Of course, they want to be neat. Chris lives in a strange place.
What do I do now?
Well, you live in a place that's being attacked by Mothman, right? Or Bigfoot or...
No. No, just all these feral cats.
Mystery cats.
Yeah, mystery cats, right. So we have a kitty drug dealer here who's got a whole yard of catnip or something because there's cats everywhere here.
You know, that reminds me when we used to live at that double wide in Mesa. You visited the place a couple of times. And we were being visited endlessly by families of cats. And Barbara felt bad, so she said, why don't you put out like a bowl with food and maybe get some cat food and some water. And I said, you're going to have those cats there permanently. They're not going to go away, which was true.
Yeah.
Finally, when we moved out, we arranged with the rescue club to have those cats taken in and rescued and find new owners for them. So I guess we did a good thing. Speaking of cats, I'm not a big cat thing, but the cat would sometimes, one of the cats took a liking to me, would come up to me waiting for the food. And Teddy Bear, our Bichon, didn't seem bothered by them.
Gene, Chris, I want to thank you for inviting me on your program.
Well, anytime. It's always fun to have you on, Lauren. You know that. Yep. We love having you on. You're one of our favorite guests.
Well, thank you. Well, I like that you were interested in my book, and I hope you got your copies okay. Some people have.
I did, and I got my ticket to the museum and my sticker.
Oh, good.
I got and my postcards, which shall all be used in an appropriate manner in a proper place.
There's no expiration date. Come anytime you can.
Yeah, and you even signed the book for me. I love it.
Good. Yeah, I got my package right here. The book is right there in front of me. With all the extra stuff. So now I'm forced to somehow find a way to travel from here to get there and see your place before I'm too old.
Right. The museum's going to be there even if I'm not. You know, even if I pass on to Mothman land or Bigfoot land. But I don't plan to do that for another 10, 15, 20 years. So
a lot of people, that's good to know.
Yeah. It's been a rough patch, but I'm feeling better now.
So, do you have any new projects coming up after this that we should know about?
Oh, I always have new projects. I've signed a couple contracts, one for a general cryptozoology book, another book on Twilight language, my interest in kind of the name game and all of that. Well, actually, there's a book coming out on the Big Muddy Monster in Southern Illinois. I did the introduction to that. I've already done that. But, you know, other people take some time publishing books. So I look forward to that. And then what I'm doing is traveling a lot these days, going to San Francisco. I've been invited to Hawaii and Minnesota and Texas to give talks on Bigfoot or Mothman. So that's been a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, traveling keeps you young.
Yeah, it does. You have to fight TSA and the inspections and I only have one rule. I never travel on Southwest anymore because every time I try to race anybody, I end up next to the bathroom at the back.
So. Yeah. You have to call in 24 hours before your flight. Exactly. As soon as that 24 hours to the second, you got to call in. Then you can get in one of the first groups to get seated. I like Southwest because I can bring two suitcases and not get charged.
No.
Lauren, if someone wants to get in touch with you, where do they contact you?
Probably the best bet is cryptozoologymuseum.com. There's an email address on there. There's contact information on there. And it tells them how to stop and actually see me face-to-face at the museum in Portland, Maine.
Indeed. I've got the ticket here. Chris has his ticket. Somehow this has to be worked out. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can find Chris at his site, OurStrangePlanet.com. You can also find us on Facebook with a pair of Paracast fan clubs, a group, and a community. I'm not sure what the difference is, but I'm sure most of you know, so take your choice. We also have a second radio show after the Paracast, which can be special interviews, extended interviews, and you never know what's going to happen next. This week, for example, we'll feature Kurt Collins talking about his blog on the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. It's only available if you join up with the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com for more information. We also give you a version of this show with better quality audio without the network commercials. How about that? Low subscription price. Check it out. Do it now. Plus.theparacast.com. Lauren Coleman, it's been a while. Glad to have you back. And hearty, hail, and healthy. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Chris. Happy New Year.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.